will just read out one portion of Vinobaji's Gita talks. From there you can start. Samsara is something very terrible. It is often compared to an ocean. If you are in the midst of an ocean, you find water wherever you look. Same is the case with samsara. It has surrounded us from all the sides. Even if a man leaves his home and devotes himself to public service, samsara does not leave his mind. Samsara, in fact, is untranslatable in English. It includes the whole of man's this worldly life and affairs in the material world in which he is totally immersed and to which he is attached. So that is samsara. Okay. So samsara does not leave the mind. It is there even if one retires to a cave to lead a hermit's life. He may have got only a few possessions there, but they become the center of his attachment, and samsara engulfs him here too. Just as a single currency note can hold 1,000 rupees, a loin cloth too can hold unlimited attachments. There is therefore no attenuation of samsara simply through reduction in the involvement in worldly business or reduction in one's possession. Whether you say 10 by 25 or 2 by 5, it means the same. We may be in the midst of our family or alone in a forest. The mind remains attached to samsara. Two yogis may go to Himalayas for doing penance, but even there they may burn with envy if they happen to hear each other's praise. The same thing happens in the realm of social service. Samsara has thus engulfed us and is ever tormenting us. It does not leave us even if we decide to remain within the bounds of Swadharma. Even if we curtail our activities, engagements and affairs, attachment to eye and mind remains the same. It is said that the demons could become small or big at will. Samsara too is like a demon. And a demon remains a demon, whether be its size, whatever be its size. You may live in a palace or in a hut. Samsara is equally inescapable. Like that it goes on, and then finally he says, activities, today morning we are discussing. Suppose under the band of spirituality, if we close our activities and live within the four walls of a room or a cave, the risk is there. What is that risk? We may become oversensitive or too weak. So our activities are the mirror, according to Vinobaji. It's an outward action is a mirror of our mind. Every now and then we look at our mirror, you know, how we are presentable, to know our real nature. So how do we deal with men and matters? That reflects, that shows what is our inner content. So even under the band of spirituality, if we do that, this is, he says, beautiful, a man living alone in a mountain cave, cut off from all human contact, may imagine that he has attained perfect peace of mind. But let him leave the cave and go for meals to somebody's house, and let a child playfully rattle the bolt of a door. The innocent child may be absorbed in the music of the sound, but the recluse may find it jarring and curse the child in his mind. His stay in the isolated cave may have made his mind too weak and oversensitive to stand even against the slightest disturbance. His peace of mind may get disturbed by just a little rattling noise. To sum up, karma is very much needed to enable us to understand what state our minds are. Karma activities. We cannot remove our defects only when we become aware. We can remove our defects only when we become aware of them. If we are not aware of them, all efforts for progress and growth will come to naught. It is while doing work that we become aware of our defects. Vikarma is then to be employed to get rid of those defects. Vikarma means, you know, he has given a new definition. Dedicating everything to love. Becoming conscious that it is He who has provided us, He has facilitated us outside, He has given us a prompting, He has selected us, He is providing the wherewithal. So only to Him it goes. Every moment. Now, including the reading. He gave us an inner prompting. Outside He provided a book. He provided an ambience. He could have selected somebody, He could have selected some other text which is not available. But when we put everything together, oh, He has facilitated us. So this also we are offering to Him. That is Vikarma. So Vikarma is then to be employed to get rid of those defects. It is while doing work that we become aware of our defects. With ceaseless application of Vikarma inwardly, we will gradually come to know how to remain detached while performing Swadharma. How to remain beyond desires and passions. How to remain beyond anger, greed, temptations and delusions. When there is a constant endeavor to purify karma, pure karma will follow naturally, effortlessly. When detached and passionless action begins to take place, frequently and effortlessly, we would not even be aware of its occurrence. So when karma becomes effortless and burdenless, it is transformed into akarma. Akarma, as we have seen, means effortless, burdenless, natural karma. So Vinobaji says, you know, when he was talking about this karma yoga, converting karma to karma yoga, all actions to become karma yoga, he suggests that when the sense of doership, sense of enjoyership is absent, it becomes natural, effortless, burdenless. Every day we are doing so many things like this. So many things. A mother taking care of her child. We may feel that she is overburdened, but to her it is effortless. Because love dimension is there, no? Suppose both of us are walking. Suddenly a stranger is crossing. He slips. He is about to fall. What do we do? To others we have done something. To us it was natural, you know? Effortless. So wherever there is self-centeredness is not there, we find it becomes effortless. So that he says that our spiritual growing up will enable us to convert all or many of our activities into this category. All becomes spontaneous and effortless. It is spontaneous and effortless. Spontaneous is not a product of any thought process. Just it comes, goes, pass. We ourselves don't know how we have done this. The other day we were sharing about a few years back. One boy of 10 or 12 years old. He was passing through one railway crossing. The gate has been closed, train is coming. But nowadays, you know, children can go underneath. So when he crossed the barricade, suddenly he saw the train coming, so he stood there. He did not cross. From the other side, an old man was coming in between the two rails with something on his head. The gate man, you know, he was shouting at the top of his voice, "Hey, look here, train is coming, go away." But that man was not hearing. So the train is coming like this. This man is walking in, and here is the gate, and this boy is standing here. So the train is coming. This man is there. Suddenly this boy jumped, pushed the old man, supported him before he fell, and then the train passed away. Okay. All in a trice. So immediately, you know, the gate man reported this to everybody, and people assembled. They started clapping the boy, congratulating the boy for his bravery. And then the truth was, the other man was deaf. So then this incident was reported in the paper. The district collector called him, then it was referred to Prime Minister, and Prime Minister gave him a bravery award. When we came to know that, we requested him to come. Actually, he is the nephew of a person who was doing seva in the ashram in '80s. So he came one day and said, because of my association with the ashram, the samskara had come to him. I just wanted to tell you. He brought the boy, we gave him prasad, he patted him. Suddenly we thought we should not leave like this. So we arranged for a program in Wayanad, in our research camp. There, you know, because it's a value, spontaneously. So we asked him, we pressed that boy to say a few words. He said, what is there to say? They say, no, why did you do it? So this boy went there with reluctance to the mic, and in Malayalam he said 3-4 words. Train was coming, uncle is coming. Then suddenly, you know, if the uncle is allowed to do there, he will be under the rail. So we felt like doing thus. Then he sat. Because it is not a thought process. He cannot go beyond that. Huh? Spontaneous. So to him it is akarma. To us it's a noble action. To him, so he has introduced this vikarma dimension in the karma. With the result it became akarma. So he says here, when karma becomes effortless and burdenless, it is transformed into akarma. Akarma, as we have seen, means effortless, burdenless, natural. The Lord has told us at the end of the 4th chapter that one should learn how karma is transformed into akarma at the feet of the saint. This state of akarma cannot be described in words. So it is a natural graduation. It is not that we try to bring in this definition. We try to learn by observing all these things. But when it comes to us, it should become spontaneous. So the purity level should reach that. So that we can observe the same thing in others. Because as far as that person is concerned, to him, there is no process called karma becoming akarma. It is not a developed, it is not a, what do you call it? A stage which he gains through academics. Anybody can bring any anecdote based on this? Have you seen, have you observe.
Well, Swamiji, I've seen kind of the opposite of what one is being, should strive for. They read something of that nature and they say, I'm just going to spend all my time looking for service, and I'm going to be out there doing this and that, and because I've been told that karma yoga should be the way, so I'm dedicating my life to the service of others, looking for projects, and then getting consumed in that. And then there's no time for reflection, no time for the more other aspects of spiritual practice. So what do you say about, is there danger in that, or is that a step toward the spontaneous?
No, there we are taking karma as a platform by which we can improve ourselves. But as far as a devotee is concerned, even the very karma is taken as an opportunity. Otherwise it will not come like that. Every activity, when we go through that, including the one which we have now, it is provided by God. And He arranges everything. This we should, if we try to keep on remembering this. Papa, there is a beautiful quotation of Papa. God arranges everything in His own way. At the time He appoints. Arranges everything. So the spiritual growing should enable us to realize this truth, that everything is being arranged by Him. In that case, don't you think it becomes effortless? When does this effort come, the word effort or burden? When the sense of I is there, no? I have to bear this, I have to do this, I have to do that. So in all our activities, suppose 75 to 80% come under that category. There are still about some few which do not come under the category. At the same time, we are doing it. So our the spiritual growing will enable us to purify internally. Purify means to reduce the dominance of me and mine. And proportionate to the degree we have achieved, we will find the rest of things go on beautifully. Mataji is in yesterday, you read that, no? Papa's description. When we closely observe all Mahatmas' life, it was effortless. They don't, the weariness or the burden, they don't feel. Oh, because the self-interest is, the self-centeredness is not there. Weariness at the bodily level will be there, but they don't feel the weariness. And tremendous energy, you know, tremendous energy. They become dynamic, they become highly creative. So we, again, so it zeroes to this, me and mine.
Well, I have one anecdote, the one that the other Swamis told me just 2 days ago, that we were talking about compassion, but then he said, you know, this is compassion and a pure act of karma, turning into prakarma. And he said this was in Varanasi, there was a family, and they were in, you know, the chartered a boat to drive, you know, to go a tour up and down the Ganga. And there was a little girl who was just inside the boat, and she was just putting her hand in the water, so feeling the current going by. And the mother was there next to the baby, next to the little girl. And then all of a sudden, a very large crocodile comes up and grabs hold and starts to pull the child down. And the mother grabs the baby, a little girl, not a baby, maybe a 10-year-old girl. And of course, it was the crocodile was starting to pull, and the mother would not let go. And then the boatman started to, he saw the size of the crocodile was just about as big as the boat. And he said to the mother, you must let go, or we're all going to be in the water soon. And she was screaming and screaming that at one point, she just said, Hari, Hari. And then her mind changed and she looked around and she saw all the lives that would be lost if she continued to hold on to her very daughter. So she let the daughter go. And the baby went down with the crocodile, was gone. And then everyone else was saved. And then the idea was that someone said, could you do it? And she said, I didn't have to think about it. It would just seem the natural right thing at the moment. But when she was engaging her mind, she, of course, her child was the only thing that was important to her. But at that one point, maybe the recitation of God's name, she just realized the greater good and let her own daughter go. He says a true story. He knew someone who was there who saw him.
A similar thing happened in Rameshwaram. Rameshwaram, there is a, what sort of bridge it's called, you know? It comes out.
Expansion.
String.
Huh?
String bridge? String.
No, something else is called, you know.
Pampan Bridge.
Eh?
Pampan Bridge.
No, Pampan Bridge. Pampan Bridge, there will be a bridge, okay? So when the ship has to pass through, this will just go. Then they pass through. Ah. So, suddenly, it is operated manually by doing something like this. In good old days. So the... I think the train was coming. His small child, Papa, Papa, it was just coming. So he has to connect this. The train is coming there. Actually, boy is coming within the rails. He has to connect up and get out and then take the boy. But in between, the boy was coming. He has now got two options. If he has to save the child, he need not connect up. But the train is already coming. And the train carries about more than 1,000 passengers. So the tussle is going on in between. And the child cries, Papa, Papa. Finally, he decides to save the train. But because of his purity, the driver saw that. He was able to stop the train. And immediately after stopping the train, everybody rushed to this person, lifted him. For the sake of all of us, you are prepared to sacrifice your child. He had one option only. To save 1,000 passengers for the sake of one child, or leave the child to God and save them. And he did that. The person with whom we were working prior to our coming, he was a very devoted man, Jain. And we still consider him as our mentor, because he has shown in his very life whether spiritual values can be integrated in work every day, the family life, professional life and social life. We had the good fortune of spending about 20 years with him. There were many, many instances. One day we were passing through a jungle from Wayanad to Mysore. We had to pass through wild forest. There are a lot of wild elephants, so many wild animals. In between, he stopped the vehicle. There was a Jain Pandit also, who was going to Mysore to give discourses on Ahimsa. We three were there. So in between, this forest, he stopped the vehicle. At any moment, you can see the wild elephant coming. So he said, Shastri, he asked, Shastri, suppose you have got a, you think that there is a rifle here, double barrel rifle. And now an elephant is charging you. What will you do now? And the Shastri knows this is an honest man. He will not tell lies. 100%. So you cannot tell lies also to him. So he said, I agree, Shantiyarma is name. We shouldn't do. But to save us, probably I might take the rifle. So he asked, today you are going to give a lecture on Ahimsa. You yourself are not convinced about it. Acha, when he said so, I asked him, what will you do now? Suppose you have got a double barrel gun. The white elephant comes now. Sorry, the wild element comes charging you, what will you do? You know what he said? Yes. I will go and place myself before that. And if my commitment to Ahimsa is total, it will go back. And if it doesn't go back and crushes me, nothing wrong with Ahimsa. My conviction is not total. That means that the love should be there 100%, not 99%. The fear of death comes only because I don't have faith. So Ahimsa alone can give. Ahimsa is a byproduct or an end product of Nirbhayatva, fearlessness.
Which is a product of faith.
Faith, it's a product of faith. So you, if at all it does, and I know, whatever he says, he will do it. We have dealt with many, many trying situations. Very, very daring. At the same time, he's a man of words, man of complete, self-effacement. All that is good and great is personified in him. So if he says something, he means it. What Gandhiji said about Ahimsa, the same thing I was hearing from him. Later on, when I went through Gandhiji's, the same words he said. Tomorrow, if somebody does something, it is not because Ahimsa is wrong, Asatya is wrong, and Satya is wrong. It is because my conviction is not perfect. So I am still to improve, it means. And it's spontaneous, it's not a... And he will do that. One day, we came from a long tour. We reached our estate by about 1 o'clock in the night. So, I went to my room, he went to the toilet. He used to snuff. So, normally it takes about 15-20 minutes to stuff the snuff, and then only he goes. So, even after half an hour, I saw some sound and the light was there in the toilet. So, I asked him from my room, "Hey, what happened?" "Oh, one snake got stuck in the pit." "Oh," then I also rushed up with the torch. So what happened was, as soon as he entered, in that gadubda, one snake must have been there. It went into the commode. And naturally, in our place, we have all this sand pit attached to it. No other system. Sand pit direct. Dead of night. And he straight away go to the pit only. It is gone. So he was trying to remove the slab. Granite slabs will be there to close this. So we all, both of us joined and somehow made an opening. Then suddenly he said, "With torch you were finding it out." "Yes, it is struggling. And we know what is inside." So then we immediately rushed up to get a ladder, placed a jack, jute bag, tied it, then we lowered it. Then this man was trying to go wherever the snake was trying to go. And finally, initially the snake thought we were attacking. But finally it came to know. Then slowly it came onto the jute bag bed. And then we lifted the whole thing and saved it. It was there. Just imagine his anxiety to save that at the dead of night. And I was observing him, it was natural for him. No commotion, no excitement, nothing. Effortless. And even if he dies there, he will not bother. He will try his level best. He will try his level best, detached. But he says, if we are earnest, it will be saved. It will be saved, no matter what the problem is. I asked him, "Today you have saved one. There are many who are like that, trapped in so many. What is your answer?" Then he said, "If it's possible, you will save. If we are placed there, you should try your level best. Not that we can go and try to start saving anything. This is the real test to us. Whether the Ahimsa aspect is there, the compassion aspect is there, the sense of oneness is there. You feel miserable to leave it there. That is why you are trying. Because you become one with the snake. That is why you become miserable. You have to somehow save it before it dies there.
Yes.
And we could see that the moment we took that first snake, and as soon as it comes out, it just goes. It does. You were sitting very near. It was very near to us. So, because this man did not have any iota of fear in him, it also did not charge us. These are proven examples, proven. How karma becomes a karma. And I am reciting to you after so many years, this must have happened in late 70s or middle 70s, yes. See how many years have passed. But still we remember it. According to him, he would have forgotten the whole thing. He has never repeated this to anybody. To him it was a natural one. Because we are observing his commitment, it still got registered.
The natural aspect.
Natural aspect.
It reminds me of a story that Swami Shantananda told. Up in the Himalayas, on the banks of the Ganga, there was a sadhu meditating by the... So the sadhu was meditating and someone was observing him. And he saw the sadhu open his eyes because something was moving close to him. And there was this fairly large scorpion who had come just to the edge to drink some water. And the scorpion was trying to drink some Ganga water, and then the scorpion fell in. And the current started to wash. And so the sadhu got up and tried to get a stick and save the scorpion. Finally, he couldn't do it, so he reached down to pull the scorpion out. And the scorpion, of course, bit him. And he put the scorpion on the side. Then he sat there in pain, but he watched, and the scorpion again came to the shore again to drink some water and fell in a second time. So the sadhu, writhing in pain from the first scorpion bite, again put his hand in, saved the scorpion again, and was bit a second time. And then the observer came and said, "Don't you, you'll die if you get another bite." And the sadhu said, "I can't help it. I'm following my nature. The scorpion is also following its nature."
That stage. To maintain that balance, that truth, is not an assumption. What he says is the truth. To remember the truth even while we are subjected to go through that. Effortless, burdenless, natural. That's what he says. So the karma becomes akarma. So all our activity. That is why they say, you know, saints are like, they have childlike nature.